going to go to the hotline right now as we bring in Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus, a man who is still recovering from his Rose Bowl experience. Dunny, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
So far, so good. Give us some of the major takeaways, not only just from the game itself, but we want the entire Pasadena experience.
It was a great time. It was definitely a bucket list opportunity that I will not forget. You know, that was the number one, the Super Bowl, and I've been able to do that in my career. And having a Rose Bowl was right behind it, and I can say I've done that. It was just, I tell you what, they treat you first class the entire way you're over there, and it's just, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun at the end result.
Well, let's dive into the game, because the game offered with it a little bit of drama towards the end. Looked like Ohio State essentially had things wrapped up. I was driving back to the east side, or I should say I was driving back from the east side to the west side, and I was a little surprised to see Ohio State begin to let down in that fourth quarter. Washington made that thing pretty interesting towards the end, Dunny.
Absolutely. And, you know, and talking with Dwayne Haskins and Paris Campbell afterwards, they were tired. And you could tell after they scored that, the Dobbins had that touchdown in the third quarter, they were just dog tired, it seemed like. And Washington began to slowly take advantage of that. You know, I think Ohio State in the second half after the touchdown, they ran only 16 plays and had one first down and had 17 total yards. So that was a bit disappointing to see. Defensively, I thought Jeffrey Okuda and Kendall Sheffield had their best games as Buckeyes. Obviously, Sheffield is going pro. Okuda has to come back. But if Okuda can play a full season like he did those first three quarters, wowee, will that be something fun to watch coming back next year.
How much momentum does this give them, if any, heading into this offseason, which, of course, brings with it a great deal of questions, which we'll address here in just a bit?
Not much. The only thing, maybe the only thing it does as far as momentum is just that February signing day, which I don't expect a lot of people to sign, maybe one, possibly two people to sign on the letter of intent day of February 6th. But other than that, there really is no momentum because, you know, Dwayne Haskins has yet to make a decision. Urban Meyer obviously will no longer be the head coach. It'll be Ryan Day. And Urban Meyer was the head coach for that game. So, you know, I don't think a lot of momentum really will be able to be taken from that game. If anything, it might just be hype left over from the Rose Bowl to get into maybe spring ball. But that might be about it.
Sean, speaking of the Rose Bowl, was it a little more exciting? I mean, with the idea that this was the true Rose Bowl experience, the Big Ten champ versus the Pac-12 champ going toe-to-toe and not just somebody thrown in there to kind of fill that ticket?
Absolutely, and it's always a great matchup of the Big Ten versus the Pac-12. Every year that it's not part of the college football semifinal, the Rose Bowl, and you can see why they want to keep their title slot, you know. That sunset over the San Gabriel Mountains with the stadium was just a sight to see in person. I made sure I left the media tent to see that, and to watch it happen was amazing. The ESPN put out the numbers for all the games, and once again the Rose Bowl was up 7% from 2 years before. Obviously, the college football playoff I had last year was a pretty darn good game with Georgia and Oklahoma. And they'll take that any day. But, you know, 16.8 million viewers, I believe that all that almost finished above one of the college football playoff games for this year. So, you know, people can say all they want about, you know, the big New Year's Six that don't matter. To a lot of people, they still matter.
Mm-hmm. Sean Dunnigan, WBNS-TV in Columbus, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Donnie, you alluded to Dwayne Haskins a little bit earlier, and got to ask you again, I mean, any idea when we will know more about his future? I mean, if he ends up going back to Ohio State, clearly the fan base would be very, very delighted to hear that, but he'd be leaving a lot of money on the table because by all accounts, it sounds like he's going to be a top five pick if he decides to go to the draft.
Absolutely. I think he will be the first quarterback taken in the NFL draft. Like you said, top five. But when we talked to him maybe 5 minutes after the award presentation, if it was 5 minutes, and he would say one question, you think, oh, he's leaning towards NFL, and then he says he wants to come back and break Colt Brennan's touchdowns in a season's record, which is 58 touchdowns, and he had 50 this year, and you're going, wait, so does that mean he's coming back? You know, we ask him over and over again, is there a time left for a decision? No, not really. He's got to talk it over with friends and family and pray on it. It's an emotional decision for him, more emotional than I think people expect, because this is his dream school. This is the school he's always wanted to come and play quarterback in. He always wanted to play quarterback for Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. He's done that. I think he wants to go one more step and go to a national championship. If he comes back, I would not be surprised, because when we asked him, we'll put odds on it, where are you at? He said 50-50, and he said that multiple times yesterday after the game.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect him to give you a different answer other than 50-50. I think people are still going to take their guesses at this. It's just hard to believe that he'd leave that kind of money on the table, even if Ohio State is his dream school. Because, look, even if he goes into the NFL, doesn't amount to a whole lot. He'll be getting a lot of guaranteed money, and we're talking generational-type money. I'd like to think that would be tough for him to turn down, but each case is certainly different.
But you also have to remember, Justin Herbert just made the same decision at Oregon, and a lot of people projected him to be the number one quarterback taken in the draft.
Yeah. Sure. Didn't Mike Doss make that? I know it was a different position, but he came back at Ohio State for a chance to win the title and did so in 0-2.
Absolutely. You know, just Jordan Fuller just made the announcement that he will be coming back for his for another season for the Buckeyes.
All right. So, again, it
happens.
Every case is definitely different.
Absolutely.
Taking into consideration that Dwayne Haskins may or may not come back, let's just take him out of the equation. When you look at this team on paper, who or what has you most excited about what's coming back for 2019?
I think on the offensive side of the ball is J.K. Dobbins, and now that he's going to have a full year of being the number one guy in the backfield with Mike Weber saying that he's leaving for the NFL draft, it'll be very exciting to see what he can do. Obviously, the quarterback position and what happens there, whether you have a Tate Martell or Justin Fields or whatever plays out during these next couple of weeks with that position. On the defensive side of the ball, I never would have thought I would have said this year, or I should say in 2018. But the secondary, especially with Jordan Fuller announcing he's coming back, that looks to be an impressive secondary with Jeffrey Okuda and Sean Wade playing at corner and Brendan White, the defensive MVP of the Rose Bowl, and Jordan Fuller coming back, an academic All-American. I mean, if that is one scary defensive backfield when you think about it compared to what they had to start the year this year.
Seems like Urban Meyer knows how to reload secondaries, and he goes out and he finds great athletes. He's able to go out and find speed. He certainly was able to plant that seed down in the South when he was at Florida, and that was something he always told us about at Bowling Green. Look, if you can find speed, you've got a leg up on everybody else. He planted some seeds in the South. Even when he was at Bowling Green, he was doing things like that. And, you know, I've always admired that about him, because it is very, very difficult to get impact players in the secondary at college football. And boy, he seemed to have done that just about every single year.
Speed kills, and that's definitely the case when it comes to Ohio State and what they've been able to do the last few seasons, ever since Urban Meyer got here 7-8 years ago, is that he recruited speed, and once you have speed, you can do everything else. And he brought SEC speed, as they used to say, to the Big Ten, and it made the Big Ten change everything they did in order to keep up with Ohio State.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't teach speed, and that's one of the things that he has said basically since day one. I mean, look, there are a lot of things that you could teach, but you can't teach speed. You either have it or you don't. Donnie, at the same time, you know, while we just focused on what we're excited about coming back on paper, of those that we know are leaving, outside of Urban Meyer, who do you think is going to be missed the most?
I think the receiving core of Terry McLaurin and Johnny Dixon and Paris Campbell. I mean, what they were able to do, those three, they were like the triplets of the Ohio State Buckeyes of the season. You know, where one went, all three of them went. And that was the case from last year when the seniors left and the juniors kind of took over the leadership to now is, you know, they always took together. They had all three of them had great seasons. Paris Campbell now becomes the receptions leader in a season in Ohio State history with more receptions than David Boston had. And that's a heck of a name to pass. Paris Campbell became the sixth player, I think it is, in Ohio State history to have over 1,000 yards receiving in a season. So when you put all of that into it, definitely Paris Campbell, but the other two and their leadership and how they play on punt team and just how they just come across in their leadership, all those three players will be huge misses here for the Buckeyes this coming season.
Well, now there is a new head honcho, as we know, in Ryan Day, and he has already made his first coaching hire. He's made an addition to his coaching staff. Who was he able to poach as a new passing game coordinator away from Oklahoma State?
Mike Yurcich, I believe is how you say his name. He's a Euclid guy from Euclid, Ohio. He comes from Oklahoma State, where he's the offensive coordinator there this past season. Brings a lot of creativity and a lot of knowledge as the passing game coordinator and the quarterback's coach. So you hear passing game coordinator, I automatically think that either Kevin Wilson will be helping call the plays, or Ryan Day will be calling the plays, or some sort of mashup between Yurcich and Day and Wilson. If there's a running game coordinator, who knows, but I can see there's multiple possibilities of who's calling the plays for the Buckeyes next season. But I really am interested and excited to see what Yurcich brings to the table as a quarterback's coach and how he can develop players like a Matthew Baldwin and a Tate Martell, and if Justin Fields comes to Ohio State, how he develops Justin Fields as well. It should be very interesting, and we can just see it in a couple of months during spring ball.
Dunny, gut feeling. Does Greg Schiano come back as defensive coordinator, or do you think Ryan Day and company are going to have a different defensive play caller next year?
I think there's a different defensive play caller next season for the Buckeyes, but I believe, and I have no knowledge of this or anything like that, but I believe it might be Alex Grinch, who's the current secondaries coach. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets promoted to defensive coordinator, keeps his safeties position as well. I wouldn't be surprised if Greg Schiano goes off and takes another head coaching job or another defensive coordinator position somewhere else. And I also wouldn't be surprised if Bill Davis, the linebackers coach, is gone as well. Those are two areas are going to be very interesting for me to see what happens in the next few weeks here for Ohio State football.
Yeah, that'll be very fascinating to see how the defensive coaching shuffle continues. All right, Dunny, before we let you go, my man, I had to throw this out there. Just give this a listen. The passing of the great Mean Gene Okerlund yesterday, 76 years old. I know you're a fan of big time wrestling, my friend. Do you have any favorite Mean Gene Okerlund memories that you'd like to pass along?
I think one of the best was, I can't remember if it was a WrestleMania or a SummerSlam, when he was interviewing Rick Rude and Bobby the Brain Heenan, and the placard fell from behind him from the background. And he just looks and just keeps on going with it like nothing ever happened. I think every time you hear Mean Gene, I hear Hulk Hogan. Let me tell you something, Mean Gene.
Yes.
Every time I hear Mean Gene, I think of that and just what an awesome person he was. I had a chance to meet him before. Such a nice guy when I was a kid. And, he's the voice of wrestling for me back when I was growing up. So he would definitely be missed.
Few, if any, could get the emotion out of those guys like Mean Gene on Saturday night's main event back in the day. No question about it. Dunny, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. And next week, we will return to the hardwood talking about some Ohio State men's basketball. As now that the Buckeye football team is done for a while, I think it's time for Coach Holtman and company to take center stage again. So we'll get into that next week.
The 14th team in the country got a big matchup on Saturday at home against Michigan State. A top 14 matchup between number 14 Buckeyes and the 8th-ranked Spartans. It should be a very fun game on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Dunny, thank you again for the time. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Talk to you guys next week. You guys have a good one.
Thanks, Dunny. You do the same. Sean Dunnigan, WBNS-TV in Columbus.